in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. It is good to see you today as we continue on in our series, War Cry. We've been looking at Jesus Christ, the war cry of God, and how he came to declare battle, to declare war over sin and death and hell, and how he conquered, he himself conquered. Today, as we continue in the story, I'm going to read part of the story that we're going to read on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, I know Heath mentioned this. I want to remind you, this coming Tuesday, 1:30, 3, and 4:30, we have three services. We'd love for you to come and be a part of one of those with us as we remember Jesus' birth, the warrior child who came. You know, in April 18, 1775, in Boston, Massachusetts, there was a man named Paul Revere. Many of you know of him. You've read of him. Maybe you've read his story. Maybe you've heard the poems that were written about him and how he rode through the land. Well, on that night, April 18, 1775, somewhere between 11 p.m. and midnight, he was the one who was dispatched to travel north from Boston to make sure that the people of Lexington began to hear and to know that the regulars were coming. The regulars were coming. He was the one dispatched as he would go by clusters of homes or small little communities to say, to arms, the regulars, they are coming. The regulars, they are coming. As he rode into Lexington, calling out and crying out a war cry for people to be ready to go, the town leadership came out and they saw him and they began to say to him, "Shh, shh, shh, not so much noise, not so much noise." And he fired back at them, "Noise such as this you've never heard. To arms, the regulars, they are coming." Paul Revere's whole role in that story was to announce the advent, an arrival. That's what the word advent means. It means the arrival. And his job was to announce the advent of an enemy who was fast approaching. What we're celebrating during this time of the year, this season, when we talk about advent, we're talking about the arrival of the warrior child, the one who came. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the one who came, God incarnate, the one who put on flesh. We sung about it a minute ago, truly God from truly God, who came to live. This season, there's so much that you could be distracted with, but my hope and my joy, my plan, my desire for you is that you wouldn't get off base, and there's so much to call us away, that you wouldn't forget the miracle of God coming to earth, him being born so that you and I might have peace with God. This is the true love. We know we're lighting this candle to call us to remember the love of God. The real love of God is that he sent his one and only son. God himself stepped, put on flesh, and came to be with us. Listen, you know what the angels came to proclaim good news of great joy that would be for all people, for all people. Listen, I want us to focus for just a few moments. Josh, thank you for reading the passage of Scripture. I want us to focus for just a few moments on three aspects of the greatest cry that was ever heard. The greatest cry that was ever heard. The first is in verses 8 through 14. I won't read all those, but I want you to hear about the greatest cry that was ever heard. The Scripture tells us in verse 8, look at that if you've got your Bibles. In fact, if you're looking for a Christmas gift for someone, buy them a Bible, all right? Get them a Bible. Life Point Riverdale, this next year, we're people of the Word anyway, but I want you to have a Bible that you bring with you that you can open up, that you can begin to look at. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field." What region? What region is it that he's talking about? Well, he's talking about, and you're going to see this on Christmas Eve, he's talking about the region of Bethlehem, the region where the Christ child, the warrior child, would be born. So he's talking about that region. Bethlehem was only 6 miles from Jerusalem. And the Scripture tells us that there were shepherds who were watching their sheep in the night. Now, we don't know how many shepherds, but we know it wasn't one or two sheep. It says there was a flock. So a flock has to be more than one, but we don't know how many. Probably many, because it says there were shepherds. So it could have been hundreds of sheep. I'm reading as part of my devotional time during this Advent season, a devotional by a pastor out of Cleveland, Ohio. His name is Alistair Begg. And he is, in the devotion that I've been in, he's talking about this passage, and he mentions, you know, that these shepherds could have been possibly tending, raising, and caring for the sheep, because it was only 6 miles to the temple, to Jerusalem, caring for the actual lamb sacrificed. So here the Scripture says that there are these shepherds, multiple, caring for a large flock of sheep, and in the middle of the night, it says that there was an angel who appeared before them. I don't know if you've heard this before, but shepherds of that day, they were considered the lowest of the lowest caste. They were counted as outcasts because they did live out in the fields primarily. That's where they slept. That's where their life was, making sure that the sheep were taken care of, making sure they could move from pasture land to pasture land so that their livelihood could be cared for. Shepherds being the lowest of the low, a shepherd couldn't even testify in court. Their testimony wasn't even counted as trustworthy. Now, I think it's interesting that God sent an angel to people to announce the birth of the warrior child to people who were untrustworthy. People who were untrustworthy. Here these shepherds are. They're out in the field. A messenger of God comes to them. They're in the region of Bethlehem. Notice this. The angel, the messenger of God, didn't go to Jerusalem and stand into the temple court and make the announcement. He went to another small, out-of-the-way place called Bethlehem. There's a reason for that, because he was announcing something that had been long foretold. Take your Bibles and turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Micah. Excuse me. Turn back to the book of Micah. Some of you are going to go, well, it's going to be on the screen. Listen, I want you to go back to the table of contents if you need to for just a moment. I'm going to take a second. Find the book of Micah in the Old Testament. I want you to be able to see this. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah 5:2, the prophet Micah prophesies about this warrior child who's going to come. And here's what he says. He says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." Listen, this was planned. There's a reason that Mary was from Nazareth, a backwoods, backwater place, that the angel went to shepherds who were untrustworthy, lowly. There's a reason that Jesus was born not in a palace, not in Jerusalem where the religious elite were, that he was born in a cave, in a stable, in a manger, in another small little town. Those of you in here who might feel like you're an outcast, maybe you are having trust issues, maybe there's all kinds of things swirling around you and you think that you're unworthy because maybe there's something that I've done. Maybe someone has done something to me. Maybe everyone has spoken to you that you are unworthy, or that's what you've heard. Can I tell you that Jesus came to make unworthy people worthy? That's why he came. This is the war cry of God. Jesus, the warrior child, came to make sure that you know that you are worthy of the kingdom. He says, this is what's happening. He's come to the shepherds. And the scripture helps us to see that as the light of heaven's glory shone around them, the angel cried out, "Don't be afraid." And in the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, when an angel of the Lord, whether it was the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, or an angel of the Lord, or the messengers of God came, when people encountered angels, do you know what they did? They fell. They went down. This was one angel. Here they are, these shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They probably had a fire to warm themselves, provide a little light, maybe to keep wolves or coyotes or whatever from coming in. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. And they are terrified. And he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy." Those two words, good news, do you realize those are, I want to tell you, these are the words in Scripture that we get gospel. This is the very first gospel presentation. And he says, listen, don't be afraid of me. I'm bringing you good news tonight. Tonight, there's good news for you. I want to say in this room right now, there are multiple people. Could be 5, 10, 15, 20 who you've heard about God. You have heard about Jesus. If you've grown up anywhere in the Midwest, if you've grown up in the United States, you probably basically know that Christmas is about Jesus. Now, we emphasize Santa and gifts and all that, but you know, Christmas came about because of Jesus. But can I tell you that today, I'm no angel, I promise you, but I've come to tell you there is good news for you today. A warrior child has been born for you. And no matter what you're feeling like, no matter where you are, no matter what you're dealing with, he's been born to bring you peace. He's been born to bring you peace. Tonight, in the city of David, there's been born to you, shepherd. You who are dirty, sweaty, smelly, soured, working with these sheep who feel unworthy, born for you. And I want to tell you, born for you today. Today, Jesus has been born for you. You're in here today, and I want you to hear the greatest news that you could ever hear. The gospel, that he has come, and it is good news of great joy. Good news of great joy, born for you. To top it all off, to add a little emphasis, the Lord God allowed an angel army to appear. The angel spoke to the shepherds, and just for a little emphasis, all of a sudden, the sky lit up. The scripture says there was a multitude. You know, in the Greek language, that word multitude means too many to count. Too many to count. I can't even imagine how bright it was. And it says, they began to sing a war cry. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, they began to sing out, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Exclamation point. This would have been so loud. Can you imagine these shepherds, how they fell? And they hear this. He's brought peace to you today. And did you notice? It says that he's brought peace. Those of you who feel unworthy, those of you who are struggling on the inside, there is peace available for you today. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, made right with God, our sins forgiven, because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means king, boss, Jesus. Remember what it means when an angel came and told Joseph? Jesus, the one who will save you from your sins. The word Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one. He's come tonight. He's been born. Good news, great joy for you. For you. Listen, we think peace is the absence of storms and difficult situations. Can I tell you what true peace is? And I'd like for you to write this down, thumb it in somewhere. Can I tell you what true peace is? True peace is a settled assurance, a security that you are safe in God because of Jesus Christ and what he's done, come what may. Come death, disease, destruction, depression, relationships, finances, misunderstandings. There's good news for you today. There's good news for you today. There is peace because of Jesus. Those of you in here who have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, do you realize there's good news for you today? In the midst of where you are, there's peace. Not because of anything you've done. Listen, your situation may not change, but there's peace. Because you can know Christ. He's changed you. Lord God, I don't know how I ended up here. You may go, Lord God, I know how I ended up here. It may be, Lord God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I am trusting in you. And I want your peace today. That comes only through Jesus. Listen, the gospel at no less, and it's very important, the gospel at no less is for those of you who do not know Jesus as Savior. But can I tell you, the gospel is also about full and abundant life once you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, we oftentimes forget that we have to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Jesus, because you died and you forgave me, I can forgive because I've been forgiven. The gospel now goes forth. Because you brought peace with me and God, I can bring peace in my family. I can have peace in my family. Because I have been reconciled, I can be a reconciler. Because you didn't, because you gave all, God, I can give all. This is the gospel that we have to preach over and over and over to ourselves. Did you notice? Look at verse 12. Well, excuse me. Back up there just a little bit. It says that he brought peace among those whom God is pleased with. It says that he came, and it's good news and great joy for all the peoples. It's good news for all the peoples. But do you realize that not all the people go to heaven? The only people that go to heaven are the ones that God is pleased with. And how is God pleased with me? Because of Jesus Christ. Because I've surrendered. I'm going to use some words very intentionally in the realm of war. Because I have surrendered and I have submitted to a new king. I no longer sit on the throne. It is Christ who sits on the throne of my life. And therefore, he is pleased with me, not because of me and what I've done, because of what Jesus has done. His merit alone. We sung about that just a few minutes ago. I don't know if you caught it. His merit alone, what he did. Verse 12, look at verse 12. The angels knew that the shepherds were going to go and search out this child. They didn't tell them to, but they knew they would. Because look at verse 12. Verse 12, they said, this will be a sign to you. This is going to be a sign. There's going to be swaddling cloths, and you're going to find a baby laying in a manger. They said, listen, you just go look. They really didn't say go look. They assumed it's written in. They've heard the greatest war cry ever, that the king has come. They're going to go find this. And I want them to know how to find. So listen, this leads to the second part of the greatest cry. This not only was the greatest cry heard, the greatest cry was also received. How do we know that? Look at verse 15 and 16. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, angels are gone, shepherds say to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. The baby's been born. Let us go see this thing, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Listen, they responded to the good news of great joy, of peace, right then. Right then. Their today was that night. They didn't wait for first light. They didn't wait for the morning to come. They didn't wait to make sure that all the... I don't know if they left a boy there to handle the sheep. I don't know if they kind of corralled them up and put them in a pen. The scripture says that the shepherds looked at each other and said, we need to go check this out. We need to respond to this. So you know what the shepherds did? They left their flock to go see the Lamb of God. The one who would come. They've been guarding these sheep for sacrifice, and yet now they were going to see the one who would sacrifice himself for them to have peace on earth. This is who they were going to see, this warrior child. And how do we know that they had received the news? How do we know that they received the news? The news that they heard, the way we know that they received it is because they acted on what the message from God was. Listen, whenever someone hears the word of God, their eyes are open, there's always going to be an affirmative response. Receiving is affirmative response. And in this room today, I know this. I know this. Isaiah 55 says that the word of God goes out and it accomplishes what it is that it's sent forth through. It does not return void. In this room today, there are some of you who are receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your spiritual eyes are being opened. You're moving from no sight to spiritual sight. You're moving from death spiritually to life because you're hearing the word of God. And now then, the only way we're going to know that you receive it is to respond. But can I tell you that also is true for those of us who have submitted and surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ? You've heard me say this time and time again. It's not just faith in God. It's active believing Him. To say that I'm a car, an F-150, sitting in my garage, just to say that doesn't make me that. To tell you I play on the Tennessee Titans, well, you might believe that, the way they're playing today. But to tell you those things, you're not going to... Listen, what is real is when you see it. When you see the response. So they got up. It says, Scripture says, this is going to be a sign. And they went. We don't use the word haste a whole lot today. Do you know what the word haste means? Urgency. Fast. Right then. The scripture says they heard it and they responded. When a heart and a life has been changed by the word of God, by Jesus Christ, the warrior child, they will respond. Things will begin to change. A life will begin to look different. This is what was happening. And today, some of you, what you're hearing, I probably fit more the mold of Clarence the angel than the angel they're talking about here in the scripture. But you need to respond today, with haste, respond. in war, whenever there is a changing of the guard, someone who has been conquered. Do you remember? You've seen the pictures. You've read the stories about the people in the days of old who would take a sword, their sword. The commander would take their sword, and they would give their sword to the other commander to show that we've surrendered. You've seen the pictures of people kneeling after war at a king and submitting. You know that when a conquering army comes and they rule the land, one flag goes down and a new flag goes up. The laws we used to live by, we now live by a new set of laws. You see, this is what it looks like when we surrender and submit to show that we've received the good news. Not only did we hear it, but we've received it. And notice the last thing here quickly in verses 17 through 20. Not only did the greatest cry heard and was the greatest cry received, but the greatest cry was also shared. Chapter 2, verse 17 through 20 says this, "And when they," that is the shepherds, "when they saw it, they made known." What did they see? The warrior child. When they saw the warrior child, "they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." When the shepherds get to the stable, when they get there and they find the infant, just as the angel and the angel choir, the angel army had announced, there was something in them. Their heart became more resolute. Listen, they knew this is true. Many of you, you've come to Christ, you've had this experience because we've talked about this. Where you've come to Jesus Christ, you heard the news, you responded in faith, and then you acted in faith, and you saw God meet, and your life is changing, and you are like, this is real. This is true. This is where the shepherds are. This really did happen. This wasn't like some congregational, like metaphysical, we saw an angel, we saw an army of angels, and we've seen the warrior child, Jesus, the one who would save us. He is here. And it says that they left that war room and they made this known to everyone they came in contact with. I wonder what that was like at midnight 30, 1 a.m. in the morning. Remember, they left their sheep in the middle of the night to go see. They went with haste. They didn't wait till first, they went then. And now then, they're telling everyone with haste. This is true. This is true. They told the people coming down the street if they were out at night. They're knocking on doors. They're texting a friend. They're posting it on the Jerusalem Post. They're doing whatever it takes so that they might make it known. What is it that they're making known? What is it that they're making known? Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, remember, they told what the angel had said. And the angel said, "For unto you." Will you not run by this for a moment? Unto you. To you. To me. Is born this day in the city of David. A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. It says they made it known to all that they went to. And notice what it says that when they would tell people, everyone they told, it says marveled. That word marveled means they were like excitedly thinking about it. It doesn't say that everyone got saved. Do you know what here's what the shepherds did. What the shepherds did is exactly what you and I are responsible for, to make it known. Our job is to hear the greatest news ever, to receive the greatest news ever, and to make the greatest news never known. Do you know whose job it is to do the saving, the changing, the transforming? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. True God from true God is the one that does that. Our responsibility is to make known that the child has come. He grew. He lived a perfect life. He took our sin. He paid for it on the cross. He did something that you and I could never do. They buried him into a tomb. He was born in a cave and he was placed in a cave. 3 days later, the scripture says that he rose again. 40 days later, he ascended to the Father in heaven. And because of that, now the Holy Spirit calls to you and I that today we can know this Christ child, the one who grew, who lived, who died, who resurrected, who is alive today, and that peace can be for you. The one who expressed true love, the God who expressed true love in his Son, he's made that known to you and I. The scripture tells us that they marveled. They thought. Listen, this should be encouragement for you and me. When we share, when we proclaim, when we tell the news, if they don't respond right then by bowing the knee, here's what we know. When you walk away, the Holy Spirit is still using that word. He's still using that testimony. He's doing things that you don't even know. You hear me say this often. We can see about two or three things that God's doing around us when he's doing 10,000 more that we don't even have a clue about. So when we proclaim the gospel to those in your home, in your neighborhood, in your, on Facebook, I moan about social media, but you know what the greatest use of social media? Declare Jesus Christ today. Today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it today. The Holy Spirit, I know, is calling people to your mind today. Maybe calling a son, maybe calling a daughter to your mind today. Maybe calling a coworker, a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, a mom, or a dad. Today, will you make haste? Today, will you make haste? And say, listen, Jesus has come. This may be hard for you to understand, but he can change your life because he changed mine. I know where I was. I know where I'm at, and I have hope and peace today. Verse 19 tells us that Mary pondered a whole lot of things. Can you imagine? 14 years old, pregnant, away from mom, has a baby, and then all of a sudden, these 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, I don't know how many dudes show up. And they say, angels told us that the Messiah is here. So she just thought about it, processed it. And then they went away praising God. Praising and glorifying God. We're about to close up. We're about to close up. And you know what we're going to do in response to this? We're going to glorify and praise God. In fact, I'm going to ask the band, our worship team, you come. You go ahead and come now. We're going to praise and we're going to glorify God for all that he's done. Here's a couple of quick application points, as if I haven't already given you a few application points. Today, would you not wait? Would you make haste to tell someone about Jesus Christ, about the warrior child? Text them, email them, call them, FaceTime them to tell them the greatest gift that I can give you is the gift of Jesus. It's the gift of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, I want to invite you as you walk out the doors under the television back there, would you stop and grab one of the Christmas Eve invites? Would you grab one? And would you take it to a neighbor, a friend, a coworker? You've got a couple of more days. It's never too late. And say, I want you to come. I want you to meet the one who's changed me. I want you to come and just experience it. You don't have to believe it, but I want you to come and see it. See what it's about. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Today If you've heard, you've received, now go make that known. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you and we magnify you. There's no greater name, no greater name, only you, Jesus. I would ask that you save people, that you would encourage us by the gospel. Give us an urgency. And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things. Amen. Won't you stand with us right now?